We thank God so much, and I'm grateful to be with you this morning. Great people, very warm, and I want to thank God for you. I thank God for my brother Craig and his wife, a lovely couple, and I just want to thank God for them. I met him about 6 years ago. Yes, yeah, and we've been in missions together. Wow, tough missions. You've heard I'm Jeremiah, married to Rosemary. We have three children. Our firstborn is a boy, and he's at the University of Nairobi, third year, about 22 years old. And then we have our daughter, 19 years old. We have a son, the little one, who is 16 years old. Dr. Michael Eaton, is a colleague. We minister together in Crisco Fellowship of Churches. And we pastor a church in Nairobi that is the central church where all other Crisco churches came from. And we've been together for many years, about 26 years. When I met him, I wasn't a minister. And he's really worked hard in my life, and he's such a great man, Michael and Jenny, quite lovely couple, and I want to thank God so much for them. Right now, his demand is so huge, and he's always on the move, always in the planes, moving from one corner of the world to another, preaching the gospel. When I get in charge of Crisco Central Church in Nairobi, I want to thank God for what God has done in my life. And Crisco Fellowship of Churches was begun by the founder, Sir Harry Das, and his family when they came to Kenya in 1977. And that is the time when East Africa was experiencing revival. It is during that time when some of us were also swept into that revival, got born again in 1978 when I gave my life to the Lord, surrendered my life to the Lord. To date, I've been walking that walk. And I want to thank God so much. He's so faithful. The Lord is so faithful. And as we keep walking and looking unto him, he will for sure fulfill those things that are written in this book here and what he has spoken to us. So we want to thank God once again for Harry Das. He's a great father. Michael would refer to him as a great father. He has mentored very many, many, many people in Africa, in Europe, and in America. So we want to thank God so much this morning. As we were talking and I was asking, God, what is it that you want me to share with these beloved people in Pietermaritzburg? And don't mind my pronunciation, I have to learn. But God is good. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Turn to your Bibles, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. When we trust him, he gives us understanding and revelation, and we are able to get some values from these scriptures to help us in living. Maybe this is a verse that you have read many times, and you found some encouragement from this scripture, but we want to share it today and trust God to give us a deeper revelation That is Isaiah 40. Maybe I start from verse 28. Let me start from verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, other versions will say those who wait upon the Lord, and I may want to consider that, those who wait upon the Lord. And it says here, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar wing like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And that's the word of God. And always when I read the word of God, I get energized. And I feel like I have new strength to help me moving on. When I think of Jesus, and I just say it because he lives, we can face tomorrow. My gentleman here who has just read that piece of scripture, when Jesus was instructing Peter what to do. That was Peter's profession. It was Peter's profession, a great fisherman. But now he learned that it is not in professionalism. It was in what Jesus would say. And as we move on in what God is telling us this morning, I strongly believe when the word of God comes out, is for a reason, is for a purpose. At one point in life, you come to a place where you are so down, and you ask yourself, will I ever come up? But one thing is so clear, and this thing that is so clear is because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because, oh yes, Lord, yeah. He holds my future and life is worth a living just because he lives. In the scripture that we have just read, the text that we have read, there are some values that I want us to consider. The Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And it says here, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. And when I was reading that, I asked myself, human beings, we don't have wings. How will we mount up with wings like eagles? But I want to thank God when you subject yourself to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now gives you the understanding of what you are reading. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, a great counselor in our lives. As then, I wanted to understand a few things. You see, like eagles, an eagle has strength in its wings. Praise the Lord. And in its wings, it can fly. It can do those, you know, gymnastics in the airspace. It can go against the storm. That's an eagle. And like eagles, our strength as Christians is in our faith in God. Our faith in God through Jesus Christ. When our faith is built up, is strong, then we can face any challenge that comes ahead of us. The understanding in this scripture that we have just read, in order to get it clearly, you need to know about this bird the Bible is talking about, the eagle, an eagle. From time to time, God would refer to an eagle, or refer to a lion, or refer to you know. And when you talk of an eagle, you see, God does not talk of a chicken or any other bird. It has to be an eagle. There's something unique. There's something super. There's something something hidden about an eagle. Those that wait upon the Lord. I want to move on very fast, but if you follow me closely, I strongly believe the Lord has something very important for somebody here. An eagle. I looked through what is said about the eagle, the life of an eagle. An eagle goes through a process. After some period, it goes through a process. Now, it goes through a process called molting. Molting, where it has to lose its feathers after a period of time. Now, when this happens, the eagle's flight is hampered. It cannot fly. It cannot enjoy, going against the storms. And during this time, the molting period, any attempt by an eagle to fly or to flap, you know, its wings, that attempt only causes the loss of more feathers. Because these feathers are now not holding firmly on the skin. And because they're old, and sometimes it feels so itchy. And when it touches the place with its beak, those feathers just come off. That's an eagle. Until it comes to a time when it's not able to fly. It has a lot of difficulties in flying. And at this point, an eagle has to seek a place to molt. Because it cannot fly, it lies there so helpless. And the eagle, in this place of molting, that's the process of removing all those feathers. In this place, it loses the remaining feathers one by one until the once majestic eagle becomes embarrassingly bare. Now, at this point, The grounded ego is vulnerable. Because it cannot fly, it will remain on the ground. And it has temporarily lost its power. When I was thinking about this and the kind of worship that we had this morning and, you know, the worship team helping us to come into the service, I was saying to myself, God, there's some things very important you want to reveal to somebody in this congregation today. This ego is no longer able to ride the winds and enjoy the freedom of flying in the sky. It can't. That's a reality, and it happens. It cannot be able to do its usual power dive to catch its prey. It can't do that. It is forced now to fast. It has to fast. And when I was reading about that and the history about the egos, at that very moment when it cannot go away to look for food, you want to hear this? It is the older ego that will pass by and drop a piece of meat. Because it cannot go search for food by itself. It is handicapped. It is helpless, unable to function as usual. And that's true. Sometimes, as Christians, we come to a place like that. Now, this one, it doesn't matter who you are. As a matter of fact, the stronger you think you are in the Lord, the more you'll have such an experience. It's unable to function. All it can do is to stay and wait. That's how and where the Bible picks it up from. Those that wait. There are those that wait. And when the Bible says those that wait, it simply means there are all other folks who can't wait. No, I'm now not measuring on those who can't wait. I'm measuring on those who wait. But as this ego patiently waits, the new feathers begin to grow. And I'm told it takes about 2 weeks. And the new feathers begin to grow. And time passes until finally the ego is completely covered with beautiful new feathers. It had resided in a cave somewhere, in a rock somewhere. Because that was the only secret. It can't go around walking around. The life is in danger. It has to stay in some place. It has to stay in some place. And then after that, the new feathers are coming on. And you see, an ego will wait a little longer as it waterproofs its feathers with oil. Just at the lower back, there is a gland there. Now that gland produces oil. The ego will touch it with its beak and then touch on the feathers. Now, that oil comes on the feathers. I don't want to be too much on that, but it's kind of anointing. And it doesn't matter how much rain,
It is safe. And this soon the moment arrives when the long wait is finally over. When the rough time is finally over, then the ego comes out of that cave, comes out from that rock, and comes and steps on the top of the rock, flexes its powerful wings, gives a triumphant cry, and soars into the wide expanse once again. Because it took time to wait. Friends, there comes a time when one might be temporarily grounded. In fact, it may come to a time when you become overly sensitive. Anything that somebody will say will not be good. You may not even want to meet the old friends. There comes moments of loneliness. There comes moments when you think you meet friends in your current condition and they will ask you, "Oh, brother, sister, do you still pray?" When others are standing here in front to give testimonies of what God has done, how God has given them a new car, how God has healed them, how God has blessed them with whatever. And you, it has been long. You look into your life, there's nothing good. There is nothing good. There are moments like that. This comes with a lot of humiliation and a panic. You look into the future. No hope. Have you ever come to that place? Have you ever come to a place in your life? You want to look at it's all darkness all over. You are trying prayers, and like prayers are not easily going. Have you been there? It's like you've not been there. Don't worry. My simple counsel this morning is keep following Jesus. And as you keep following Jesus, somehow you find yourself in a very strange place. A very strange place indeed. A place where you did not imagine you can come to. You try everything, but nothing is working out. You try literally everything. Everything. You bring the best on board, but the more you do that, things are just disintegrating. Somebody wrote a book, Things Fall Apart. Things are falling apart. They are moving from bad to worse. Your business, challenges in the family. You try the much you can. The health, health-wise, you try the best doctors. Whatever you do only aggravates the situation and expedites the loss of more feathers. I'm talking to somebody. That's a reality in life. That's practical. We are talking of the whole counsel of God. We are not just preaching
a Christian of that beautiful cake, and you turn this other side, you are just smiling, and you look in front, it's just all smiles, and you look behind, it's just smiles, and you look around, it's all flowery, and your flower bed, you look around, you a life where you are just going through a garden of roses, and there is no problem. No, I'm telling you, sometimes those roses dry up. Hello, praise the Lord. Sometimes those roses dry up. And when a rose is dried up, what remains of it? Thorns. And I've said, it doesn't matter who you are. Listen to me, beautiful, nice congregation. It doesn't matter who you are. It happened to Elijah after experiencing great, 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 great power. And over 400 prophets of Baal are killed. Then he retreats into something. He's crying and saying, God, kill me now. Kill me now. Kill me now. Why should you be killed? They've killed all the prophets. It's only me remaining. And God tells him, that's a bad attitude. They have not killed all. As a matter of fact, I still have 7,000 remaining who have not bowed to Baal. Everybody, look at John the Baptist. The guy is a forerunner of Jesus. Oh. And he says, seated in some cool place under a tree, Jesus is passing with his disciples, and he tells his disciples here, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of mankind. And he told them about Jesus, and he told them, this is the one. But wait for a moment when he's now taken in. He's in prison. And then his disciples come to visit him. And then he doesn't want to engage all other things. He tells them, where is that man I showed you the other day? They ask, who is that? That man called Jesus. Where is he? Oh, this man is around Durban ministering. Go quickly. Go quickly and ask him, is he still the one? Is he still the one? Is he the one we are expecting? Or there's another one coming? It doesn't matter. Look at Jesus Christ. He preaches, I and my Father, we are one. My Father loves me. Praise the Lord. I only do what I see my Father do. And all along, Jesus is preaching and preaching, and you're seeing great connection, him and the Father. But then comes to a time where he cries and says, my Father, why have you forsaken me? No, when you come to a place saying why, it means there's something you are not expecting. You will feel exposed. You will feel defenseless, helpless, and a bear. And this is the time you become vulnerable to attacks. The enemy of your soul will often seize this opportunity to undermine your confidence. We have an enemy who will always come to take away your confidence and then put fear in you. You will be mocked.
You'll be provoked.
When your will is weakened, there is nothing you can do.
And this is the time they will say to you, you will never make it. You are a failure. And even inside you, you think you will not see tomorrow. Your enemy will try to undermine and defeat you, both psychologically and spiritually. He will try to discourage you and make your life miserable. Friends, I'm talking to you this morning.
There is such a thing as waiting upon the Lord.
There are accounts in the Bible in which barren women are despised, mocked, and humiliated by their enemies. This is a reality that I'm talking about. In 1 Samuel 1:16, it's written, and her rivals also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. The Lord had closed her womb. It is not because she had sinned. It is not because the ancestors had sinned. It is the Lord who had closed her womb for his own reasons. And the situation that you are going through, you may look around and try to blame this and try to blame yourself. But when in the actual sense, it's actually God working in your life. God can change circumstances. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing me? God can change circumstances. I've been in this work for over 30 years. Yes, in Christian work. Close to about 34, 35 years. I got born again when I was about 16. And I have been... There are moments, I can tell you, I've been on the mountain enjoying, feeling good. But I can also confess, I've been in the valley. I've been in the valley of the shadow of death. But you know what? God on the mountain, he is still the same God in the valley. God changed circumstances. He caused the barren Sarah to give birth to the patriarch Isaac. Look at that. When everybody had lost hope. The barren Rachel gave birth to Joseph, who became a ruler in Egypt. Look at that. But did they go through some great, great, great time? No, it was tears. The barren Manoah's wife gave birth to Samson, the mighty deliverer. The barren Hannah gave birth to Samuel, the powerful prophet, judge, and a kingmaker. But she agonized for many years. I want to ask you a question. Where are the children of Peninnah? The barren Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist, the prophet and the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who was stripped bare and he was on the cross naked. He was mocked. He was despised. He was abused and humiliated and crucified on the cross. He gave birth to the glorious church that we are enjoying right now. The barren people in the Bible may not have produced in quantity. Right? But those whom they gave birth to were of renown and of great destiny. The words of God says, In Isaiah 54 verse 1, sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not travailed with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. When the Lord, you know, the secret is waiting. There are, if you forget everything I've said today, remember one thing. There are seasons in life. There are seasons in life. It doesn't matter. And it is not formed by human being. Seasons are from God. Seasons are from God. Yeah? This scripture here. I think I can get it. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and the harvest, cold and the heat, day and the night will never cease. It is the Lord who does all this. He brings about the seasons. For some of these barren women in the Bible, their time for waiting was long and of great agony. It's God who determines the duration of our divine seasons. Somebody says, divine delays are not denials. They're not denials. Friends, the time of waiting during spiritual molting period is not time wasted or lost. Right now, somebody may be going, and I'm very sure. Yes, I'm a pastor. I have people under me. Right now, there may be people going through some kind of funny season in their life. And they may not be, you may not be understanding yourself. Even what I'm preaching now may not even be making sense. Somebody here, you may have spent a whole night crying. It may be health. It may be some kind of need in your life, whatever it is. And that's why I'm here this morning. That's why I'm here speaking to you. Just take time like an eagle. You cannot fly. You are so bare. You can't go and look for your food. You just resign to your molting cave. Just do that. Some of you are in that cave, molting cave, but you don't know. And that's what I'm telling you today. This will help to develop you. God wants to develop you. The virtues of patience and the perseverance. It can be a time when your spirit is fortified in His presence. God wants to teach you. God wants to hold your hands. It is also a time of discarding the old and the giving birth to the new. The old has to be taken off. God wants to put something new in your life, and it is not going to happen on a silver platter. Hallelujah. It is not going to happen on a silver platter. I'm not a prophet of doom, but that is what it is. Praise the Lord. You better resign in the hands of God and tell God, even if you break me into pieces, do it. I want to remain in your presence. Even if you crush me, I will remain in your presence. Even if you kill me, yes, I would rather die by your sword. I'll remain in your presence. Some people want to run away from the church. They think now this church here, I've been here, they are not, the prayers are not helping me enough. Uh-uh.
When you run away, you are just delaying the process. Hallelujah. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to, you know, put you in a box. But I'm saying, you have to be very careful the steps you take at that time. You have to be very careful. Now, I want to finish. Towards the end of Apostle Paul's ministry, he experienced the restraint and the restrictions of chains and imprisonment. A great man like Paul, an apostle with the calling of God upon his life, towards the end of his life, he is apprehended, put in prison. Everybody was crying elsewhere. But him, he's not moved. He knows what God is doing. He knows what God is doing and is telling them. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned for the good of the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. My chains are in Christ. In other words, this is not the devil. It is not the devil who brought me here. My chains are in Christ. And it was during this confinement that the blessed prison epistles of the Bible were written. Look at that. And we have the epistles of the Bible. Imagine the church missing the writings of Paul. How would we find balance? But then God had to confine him in a prison because he was busy. He would not get time to write. So God has to put him in a prison. Oh. Praise the Lord. Do you think you are in a kind of a prison? Before you say too much, before you run away, before you accuse anybody, think twice. Oh, hallelujah. What therefore seemed to be, you know, a time of affliction, a spiritual plateau, may actually turn out to be one of the most productive phases of our lives. Joseph, through his personal experience, understood this very well. And he named his son Ephraim because God had made him fruitful in the land of affliction. This time of waiting can be your greatest stepping stone. That season that you are going through can be your greatest stepping stone to greater spiritual heights. You want to go higher in the Lord. It does not come by touching a button. You want to have a great experience with God. You have to be ready. Friends, you have to be ready. You have to be ready. Paul says, I die every day. You think dying every day is an easy thing? It's not an easy thing. It's not. God says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. That is God saying. How do you carry yourself when you are in an impossible situation? How do you carry yourself? How do you carry yourself, friends? Some wants to cast out demons. There may be no demon. Yeah, for sure, I'm telling you the truth. Some want to run from one church to another. Where you're going to may be even more tougher.
Some will cry and cry without hope. We wait upon the Lord. The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Hallelujah. I have told you one. Doesn't matter who you are. The maturer you are in the Lord, you'll come to a season where you will resign to a molting place. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I want to pray with you. I don't know what is happening in your life. I don't know. I think I only know Pastor Craig and Shannon. Majority of you, if not all of you, I don't know you. But you have a situation. You have a condition. Just surrender into the hands of God. If I had time, I would tell you a great testimony. I think of it and I tremble at God. Oh, a great woman of God in Kenya, very close to us, even Michael knows this family. This lady had a growth, a tumor in the brain. From 2008, that's when she started feeling it. And just to cut this long story short, they went through that experience for about 5 years. Oh, when you come to Kenya, I'll give you that story. And you know what? We cried all the tears. These are very close friends. We cried all the tears. We agonized. I would bring them to my house, stay there. We would stay there. We would stay there for as long as we would stay. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month. And God, this couple, the husband, knew he was losing the wife. Actually, he knew he has lost the wife. This lady could tell me. She refers me to my brother. My brother, take care of your brother. And I would retreat into my own corner and I would cry tears because I don't want to cry when they are seeing me. And cry the tears and tell God, God. You know, can I tell you what happened? They went through operation. Very major operation. Very major operation. They've come out of the season. Now she's preaching the gospel. She's preaching the gospel. Do you know the magnitude of that problem? It was too big. She's preaching the gospel. I was in the assembly in Kisumu, and the things are happening in the church. The church is increasing. People are getting healed. Transformation is happening in that church. They that wait upon the Lord, it may be 1 year, it may be 2 years, it may be 3 years, it may be 5 years, it may be 10 years, it may be one day. Will you mind standing where you are? Oh, hallelujah. And all this is because he lives.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my story. This is my story. Oh, my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Lift up your hands, Father. I want to thank you. You have allowed me as a vessel to speak what you want your people to hear. Father, I've done it. I've done it. And I say it's all about you. It's all about you. It's not by might, nor by power, but by your Holy Spirit. Father, may this word find a place in our hearts. May it move in our lives, work in us in a new way. Cause us to experience you in a new way as per this word. Those who are in this molting season, Father, cause them to wait upon you, because you will for sure come to them. You will for sure reveal yourself in a new way. And those who are on the mountain rejoicing, those who are experiencing the great moments in you, let them be of great help to these ones. So Lord, we lay our lives before you. Thank you for this assembly. We pray this in Jesus' name.